Guys, morning. Some of you are awake. This is good. I'm excited to have Vincent Ng with us from OMF this morning. He's going to bring a message for the first Sunday of Missions Month. OMF is an organization that has a long history with Asia. They used to be China Inland Mission, and they have this heart and this desire to see the Asian continent reach for Jesus. And so I've met Vincent over the years. I'm delighted to invite him forward, and we're going to pray for him just before he shares. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we thank you for Vincent. We thank you for OMF and the work they do in bringing your message to the people of Asia, Lord, and around the world. Lord, we thank you for today that he could be here and share this message with us. We pray you would use it to inspire our hearts and to draw us closer to you. We pray that in your strong name. Amen.
Amen.
Vincent.
Yep. Good morning, church. Today is what date? June 4th. Oh, it irritates me. June 4th. Who knows what happened 28 years ago? Tiananmen Square. That's horrific. Yep. But other than June 4th, Tiananmen Square, what is, according to Christian calendar, what is today? Anyone?
Pentecost Sunday.
So, actually, when I prepare the message, this Pentecost Sunday is always, you know, surround me. Hey, what kind of the message that I supposed to preach that according to the Christian calendar? Pentecost Sunday. So that I pick up this passage, Gospel of John. Chapter 4, when you saw the title, the Samaritan woman at the well, so I changed a little bit. So by the time that Ryan gave me this email, I said that, this one is pretty obvious. Well, it's okay. I changed it to, she came for the water and left with the well. Anyway, the same old thing, Samaritan woman. You probably through Sunday school or Bible studies or previous sermons about this Samaritan woman. Anyone heard of her, her story? Could I have show of hands? Anyone? Ooh, quite a lot. Almost 95%. That's it. I have to go. Because you know well about the passage. But I try to, walk with you. This passage in a slightly different way. Let me try to, walk with you with the scripture. Who is this Samaritan woman? The text tells us that when Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, he had to walk through Samaria. So that's, could I have the next slide? It's okay. I just a slide is just a map. You know what the usual people will go from. Oh, great. So from Jerusalem to Galilee, what usual religious Jews will go? They walk through the River Jordan at the east bank of River Jordan, and then head north. But Jesus did it a different way. So could I have the next one? Yeah. Jesus did it is that instead of cross the river valley and then head north, he just from Jerusalem on the left-hand side, straight north, passed through Samaria. Samaria was an unclean, half-breed place, the place that you're not supposed to visit if you are well brought up as a religious Jew. Think of it, just as when you grew up, you're having somewhere that you're not supposed to visit in this day and age. But you know what? Jesus just went through it. Jesus just said in verse 4 is that Jesus had to go because God had something more divine to do it. So having picked up the story, let us read the scripture. next one? Yes. Shall we all read it together in unison? 3, 2, 1. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that a Jew asked for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank it from it itself, as did his sons and his livestock." Next one. Yes. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me that water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The third one. Yes. Many Samaritans from that town believe in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the women, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." So I just would like to walk you through what is the reality of this Samaritan woman. So after reading this passage, right away, you might have a picture of this Samaritan woman in your mind. Or at least you have some ideas. As I asked you before, right? You already heard something, no matter a sermon or Bible study or whatnot, that you already have some idea. So let me confine you into, you know, you could have the next one. Yeah. This Samaritan woman in our mind always is a promiscuous, immoral, adultery woman, right? I already have see some nodding heads. Yep. The reason why we portray this woman in a way of immoral adultery, because basically in threefold, I put it up here. She comes to the well alone. Maybe she's ashamed from things she committed. She comes at high noon, midday. People used to come to draw water, you know, either in the morning or late evening, right? And late afternoon. You know, midday is so hot. And then she's a serial divorcee. She had numerous men in her life. But church, however, it is increasingly nowadays with a bunch of the biblical scholars, especially in the first century, is questioning whether this is the correct assessment of the reality of this Samaritan woman. Firstly, when we look at this threefold image, she comes to the well alone. Says who? Say, for example, we're in this context, okay? I'm talking to Uncle Robert. So someone just recorded, right? Hey, Pastor Vincent is talking to Uncle Robert. But the narrator never mentioned that we have Pastor Ryan, we have Daniel, we have Timo, right? The Bible never says that. That's only between, the conversation only carries out between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So sometimes when we read the Bible, we always could jump to the conclusion that yes, she only, I mean the well is there, only Jesus and Samaritan woman. Secondly, she comes at the high noon, in the middle of the day. Because no one will come out in the middle of the day. But however, we don't know. You know, if you flip the scripture, coming down to verse 35, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that there are yet 4 months comes to harvest. In Palestine, Judea, they usually have two harvests in a year. The first harvest is happens in April. So, hypothetical example, I mean, you know, we're set up like this. If this is harvest in April, 4 months ahead, that means December. So in December, do you want to get up early in the morning to get to the well to draw water? It was so cold. Will you do it in the late afternoon when the sun almost gets set and then it's also cold? So come to the midday, high noon, might be pretty wise. Besides, this woman might be draw water out from the well in the morning time and then come to the noontime is she's helping her neighbors. We don't know. But here, she comes in high noon, make a good point. My little background is that I studied Chinese literature when I doing my college. So I love to, you know, when reading, especially Bible, I love to use all kinds of the literatures, you know, scheme to read it. What is it that the author is talking about? Any comparison? Any contrasting? Check up this one. If you flip over back to John chapter 3, who did Jesus encounter with? Anyone? Anyone here? Someone came to see Jesus. I heard something. Nicodemus, a Jew, a religious man, a teacher of the law. But he came at night. Could I have the... Oh, wow, you're smart. It's here. A Jew, a man, an educated, he came at night. This Samaritan woman, a woman, probably not educated. She came in high noon. I think the author of Gospel of John makes some point. No matter come in the night or high noon, all these stories is I could see it's a great contrast between the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus, but both of them understood Jesus badly. They don't even know Jesus. So thirdly, she had five husbands. Oh, this is hard. This is very hard. What kind of a woman is she like other than movie stars in the last century, Elizabeth Taylor? She married 8 times. Who does so many times of marriages? So I tried to, you know, do some research, and I eventually find out this article from Christianity Today. Next one, pull out. Yeah, I read through this article, this is a good read. Lynn Kohack is the chairman, chairperson of the New Testament Studies in Wilton College. She had an article saying that, was the Samaritan woman really an adulteress? And it helps me understand a lot more. Because she told me, I mean, she tell through the article, through her article, she lists out what is the first century marriage relationship looks like. Okay, first of all, there is no historical evidence seeing that someone in that time of period, a woman, married for five times. Because it's just insane. A woman can marry for five times. The law at that time just won't allow. Not like 21st century. If I have something wrong with my spouse, I'm going to divorce you right now. No, first century can't do that, right? As women. And then if she's really commit adultery, think of it. When someone caught red-handed and brought in front of Jesus, what did Jesus do? Jesus kind of put the justification. He also labeled her, go and sin no more. That means already, sorry, you just sin, right? But what did Jesus talk to this Samaritan woman? No. Rather, Jesus offered her living water. You know, church, sometimes I love to challenge people. We have to rethink, you know, what the scripture is all about. Let me tell you something. We are too far away from first century. We are 2,000 years away from first century, right? So immediately when I went through all this study and I find out that, hey, I tried to find out is that what does the first century or the second century, the early church sees this Samaritan woman? They see her Saint Fotina. The early church sees her and put her a title, Saint Fotina. Here, if you could see it, the enlightened one. According to the church history, actually, after the encountering of Jesus, she became a greatest witness. At least, she pulled the entire town to see Jesus. She went forward and then to North Africa and preached the gospel of Jesus. And the end of the day, you know what? The Roman emperor at that time threw her to death in a dry well. She became a martyr. Saint Fotina. Early church treat her. It's a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what's my point? What does the text say? What is the focus? Well, the text is, the point actually of this text is not her, right? It's not about Saint Fotina. It's not about the Samaritan woman. The problem with focusing on her life of sin so much is that we almost see that the text is just to introducing her to herself, and you need to know who you are and you need to repent and all that. That's most of the time that churches always, you know, pinpoint something and then, hey, you have to repent and then you believe, you become a believer. Period. The point actually is to introduce her to herself to Jesus. She comes to know the Savior. Meeting Jesus and receiving the gift that only He can offer, the living water, And that's the focus, and that's the point. Only the living water that could satisfy her, that could satisfy each one of us. Our deepest hunger and thirst and needs is all about the living water, all about the gift of Jesus Christ. So you might ask, and so do I, what is the living water is all about? So get back a little bit. Old Testament. I love Old Testament. Anyone could tell me that in Old Testament about flowing of water? Towards the end of the book of Ezekiel, stream of water out from the temple, come down, bit by bit, became a river, flowing water. And then, of course, if you read through the Gospel of John, especially in chapter 7, when Jesus, on the day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, whoever believes in me." As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That is what Jesus said, and that is also what Jesus promised. So the living water that Jesus refers to is the Holy Spirit, church. It's the Holy Spirit. So, what and how does Jesus really offering to her? So I have to pull church again. Come with me. To Old Testament again. This time, some kind of the educated, not quiz. But anyway, I'll ask you. In Old Testament, what happens when a man meets a woman at the well? Any examples? A man meeting a woman at a well. Anyone?
Usually he ends up finding a bride.
Ooh! Boom, 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 boom. Wow! Yay! See, that's the reason why we have to, go for that 2 pain years of the studying of a Master of Divinity. He got it all. I have the 3 examples. Abraham's servant, right? At the well. And then who else? Jacob met Rachel. Any one more example, please? Pardon me? Moses. Bingo. You got it. Moses met Zipporah. A wedding again. So now Jesus met this woman at the well. Think of it with the context of Old Testament. Think of Jacob met Rachel at high noon. And here, Jesus met this Samaritan woman in high noon. And what Jesus is offering her is actually a preparation of a wedding.
Oh my goodness! Hey, Vincent, Pastor Vincent, what are you talking about? Are you planning to have another movie, The Temptation of Christ? Sequel?
No, this is not a proposal thing, but Jesus is actually offering her a covenant relationship with God. Jesus said, "I could fulfill all your deepest desire and needs." And the living water that filled her is the Spirit that turned her into a powerful witness of God. She went back to the town. And then in verse 39, she said this, in verse 29, she said this profound sermon. Xu Zhongzi said, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" In Greek text, it's only 14 words. She beat Billy Graham. Shortest sermon, and brought the whole town. This powerful witness, because this is the power of the Holy Spirit that fills her up and brings tremendous results. So, church, I pray for each one of you. I came here last year with the whole partnership with your church, that we have this Half-Eurasia conference every year happens, that reports from our missionaries from the field and then share with the brothers and sisters. I met up with Pastor Brian, not only met up, partnership with him, and then we have Daniel and then Joyce, that in our planning team. It was a fun time. I mean, the planning together, and then have the event here, lunch over the gym over there. Ever since, I pray for this congregation. I pray that each one of you will be impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a little chit-chat with Uncle Robert, I mean earlier. I didn't do any introduction of myself. I'm a 1.5 generation pastor. I know how to preach and in Mandarin and Cantonese, but I do English ministry in the at least last few years. I have passion to see that the next generation Christian to become the leaders. How? Through the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because that I have a good job, I could, you know, do lots of things in church. No. You have to be just like the Samaritan woman. Have that living water. So I have the, this time I have the next one, probably a few one. This one, stop here. Yeah, she came for the water and left with the well. So I would like to do a little conclusion. I want to conclude with some Proverbs words. Literature guy, you know. Someone by the name of Ephraim the Syrian lived in the 4th century AD. He was a deacon in his church and also a creative author. He wrote about this Jesus conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well. He writes this: Jesus came to the fountain as a hunter. He threw a grain before one pigeon that he might catch the whole flock. At the beginning of the conversation, he did not make himself known to her. But first, she caught sight of a thirsty man, then a Jew, then a rabbi, afterwards, a prophet, last of all, the Messiah. She tried to get the better of the thirsty man. She saw her dislike of the Jew. She heckled the rabbi. She was swept off the feet by the prophet. And she adored the Christ. Could I have the next slide? So to me, believe in God is a process. It's actually believing in God. It's a every moment repeat action. You can't just believe in God in one point. You have to keep on believing in Him. So I would like to throw a question to you. This is a Pentecost Sunday. As opposed to today that, you know, Holy Spirit came down just like the first century, revival of the church. So I just throw a question to congregation, to church here. Do you see God in your life as a thirsty man, a Jew, a teacher, a prophet, or you adore him as the Christ, the Savior? May the Lord bless his words, and so do you.